Hi, Simona. Hey, Lissa. I can't hear you, sunshine.
I was saying, it sounds like Imba, but it looks like Joanna.
Yeah.
I don't see you with your hair down very often.
Speaking of which, my hair looks frightful.
Hi, Carrie. When are we getting together, Carrie? It's getting
Hey,
nice out.
Carrie. Hi. I know I was thinking I'm so freaking busy this week, but I was like, you should come Wednesday because it's going to be like 70 degrees.
I
Yeah,
know.
we have a busy week.
Know.
One of my PTs had to get ACL surgery, so she's out for 6 weeks. So I have to like treat, and we're like, of course, now we're getting busy. It's good, but you know, it's just one like I have all my other stuff I still
Why
have
are
to
you
do.
getting busy? Everybody been shoveling all winter?
It was slow in January. I don't know why. Now it's starting to get, I think, with Omicron and all that. So now it's getting busier. And yeah, all of the above. But I want it to be busy because I don't want her to come back to an empty schedule. So, you know. Hi, everyone. All right, I'm gonna jump in.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone, and hi, Anne. Awesome to see you. So, as Joanna wrote in a note, I'm here in lieu of her. She wasn't able to be here, just in the rush to reschedule this. But obviously she knows that we're on, and she's holding the space with Anne and with all of you, with all of us. Super excited to be here for our third and last call with Anne in this super informative series. It's been such a valuable two classes so far, where we've covered some foundations about how the mind works, and then really powerful hypnotherapy and NLP tools to go even deeper with befriend your fear and choose your own shadow techniques. And I'm super excited for our work together today. So without further ado, Anne, please jump right in.
So we're a little bit I think we're smaller today, unless I'm just not seeing everybody, and that's okay. That actually works out pretty well because I'm hoping that we'll be able to keep doing more Q&A and working together a little more directly. And I know last time we were looking at what were we looking at last time? Crafting effective suggestions and thinking differently about how we ask questions in a trance space. And okay, cool. I just saw a no camera, but here. And that's fine. And I'm totally fine with it. If you need to be on camera, off camera for whatever reason, please do take care of yourself. So I think when we were finishing up, we were talking about listening for languaging and sequencing questions. And I think that were there any questions that came up afterwards? I didn't see anything in my email with questions leading into today that I hadn't already gotten before. So before I start on today's material, is there anything that's like burning in the back of your mind that if you don't ask it now is going to distract you from today's material? I'm just unmute and jump in if so.
So I imagine we'll get into this, but because I'm analytical, so that's where I'm going to go. So the question of like, I want to know the why. So it would be good to have, you know, the information, what to ask instead. Not that I would go to that. So I think we spoke about details, you know, like asking someone to get into it. And then, yeah, there was something else, but it's not top of mind. So I'll come back to that.
So when you say like what to ask instead, can you give me
instead
an example?
Of like, yeah, instead of why?
Mm-hmm. The short and not necessarily helpful answer is really almost anything but. Why is always going to put somebody into analytical space and pull them out of the creative depths of the subconscious. It's going to put them in, you know, kind of forebrain function. And we want them, if we're doing trance work, to be as creative as possible. So tell me more about that is always a good question to ask. The reason that that's a good question to ask is that your client's subconscious mind is going to then select the most important thing that it thinks you should know. Or they're going to go into, I don't know what you mean. And so then you look at what is it that you were trying to get at? If you're trying to get at, for example, what's the purpose? If you're doing befriend your fear work, and you already know something about the why that part is protecting them in the way that it is, you can ask that fear, you can ask that part. Tell me more about why that feels like a good idea to you. That goes into emotional and physical processing, which is a much deeper, slower layer than the analytical mental stuff. You can ask that part, well, why do you think it's a good idea to do that? But again, you've asked why. Tell me more about, yeah, it sort of ends up reverting to why anytime you go to the thinking pieces of it. So when you are doing that, you know, behavior that your client is trying to undo, right? How does that feel in your body? Describe that. And then you also get a sense of whether that part feels comfortable when it does that, whether it feels actually safe when it does that, or whether there's still distress, but it's an acceptable kind of distress instead of an unknown and less acceptable kind of stress. Does that sort of answer your question? Okay. And that's actually good because that leads us into what we're doing today. So again, no handout. This has been insane. I pulled the Sacred Fool card for February and I feel like I just keep getting, you know, whacked with the Joker stick every week. I thought, okay, great. This week I can settle in. And then my daughter got COVID again. So no handout. There will be handouts. They will be made. They will be sent to Joanna. They will be stored with the recordings. You will have access to them. So for now, you just have to bear with me. I apologize. So today is the putting it together. But when we say putting it together, it's not so much, let's put all the skills together and tie it up in a neat bow, because it's a toolbox, right? There's a lot of different things that we've pulled in. So when I'm talking about putting it together, I'm talking about really using trance for better integration. Integration after trance to maximize the effects that you've been able to generate, to maximize the results that you've been able to generate. So we're going to talk about emergence and integration. So when your client's been in trance, what are some things to know when you're shifting them out of a trance state? We're also going to talk about how to bring them out gently. we aren't always taught to attend to that. You've been building skills, whether you realize it or not. And so we might put a little bit more of a bow on that, but also how to pull the four levels of learning together from a sacred depth context, both in and out of trance. I also will apologize. I may stumble on my words a little bit more today than I know I would like to. I had a little bit more after effect from anesthesia a couple weeks ago than I was anticipating. And I'm noticing that the language stutters are happening still a little more than I'd like them to. If I say a word that absolutely doesn't make sense, please let me know, because I don't always catch it when the wrong word comes out. It's been a fun February. So, emergence and integration. Why do integration work in trance? I'm going to put you on the spot. Just unmute, shout it out, because I'm terrible at monitoring raised hands on screen. Why do you think it would be beneficial to do integration work while in a trance state, given what you've learned?
It goes deeper, more embodied.
Yep, because you're already at the level of the subconscious mind. And so you're doing that integration at the blueprint level, and you have better access to embodied learning because your subconscious mind is the go-between with the unconscious, which is what's going to govern physical experiences as well. So, yep, both of those. What else? Anything else?
I was going to say, same reason you don't ask why, because it's at a different level. Pre-analytical.
Yeah. So say more about that.
Just, you know, if you're asking why it's up in the analytical, if they're still in a trance state, it seems to me like it's still like a feeling state and there's not as much analyzing going on. You can't argue your way out of it or, you know, look for the right words or different things. It's just you're in the experience of it.
Yes. There is an ease of integration when you leave the highly analytical pieces out for the time being. And so then when you do go into the higher analytical functions and the mental integration, it's already been accepted underneath. And so you spend less time arguing with it and more time putting together how to do the thing, how to take the next steps that are aligned with the insights that you just had. So yeah, so you have the rules of the subconscious mind still in play. So you're in the realm of emotion. It's nonlinear. It's creative. It's association based. It's an unlimited database. You're already working with the comparing function at a level where it's much more willing to just accept before, and you do all of that before you bring it up into analysis. And then you can use the rules of the conscious analytical mind to put it together in a way that bridges to action. I love it. I think it's fun. Talk about greater access to creativity, blueprint level. Yep, got all of those steps. So that's the why of doing some integration work in trance. And I think we all have different questions that we like to ask as part of our integration process. And some of that might depend on the client. It might depend on what they're working on at the time, whether the thing that they're needing to integrate is just the deep knowing. Maybe they just had a whopper of an inner work session and they need to put the pieces together about why that's relevant to them, why they want to be able to continue forward with that. It may not be as action oriented, and especially if it's a less action-oriented session, we're always going to want them to take action because you want to cement it with that intentional forward movement. But the bigger that chunk of inner work was, the more beneficial starting the integration, at least in trance, is going to be. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So as far as, we'll talk more as we talk about pulling the four areas of learning together. And there was a piece that Joanna had asked me to put in a handout, which is not in a handout yet. But words and phrases that are useful during the process and during integration. And we're going to kind of workshop some of that too. All right. So you've done all this beautiful, deep work with somebody. They've befriended their fear. They've transformed their relationship to this part of them that just wanted to protect them from a fear that had been active in a much younger version of themselves. And we're wanting to bring that forward in a way that's useful to the self that they are now, presumably their adult self. And some of you may work with adolescents and kids, but I'm going to assume adult for now, because that's a whole other thing. You've done this beautiful work. You've done this deep integration. They're feeling good. They're feeling whole. And then you go, okay, well, you know, so time's up. So that's great. So I'll see you on our Zoom next week, Tuesday at 2 o'clock, right? No. What do you think happens when people have a jarring transition from a really productive trance state into sudden, you know, focused analytical consciousness? I can see you motioning, Lissa.
Shut down.
Yeah.
It's just gone. It's wiped.
Yeah. It's not necessarily wiped, although some people will wall it off depending on who they are. I think the word I would use more is, it's like slamming the book shut all of a sudden, right? So when we emerge from a trance state, even when we, if we've been eyes closed to focus, even when we open our eyes and intentionally become aware of our bodies, for at least a few moments up to several minutes, we are still like wet cement. We're still highly malleable and suggestible, even as we're returning to the more analytical, mental focused, ordinary consciousness state. And so the things that are said in the first few moments or minutes after someone emerges from trance can be very powerful words. And so this is why I like to combine the integration at the end of the trance work and also continue with some integration questions or connecting the dots immediately on emerging, because it really helps to build those bridges between the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, between that highly creative, nonlinear inner world of the subconscious that works more like a five-year-old, and integrate it with that person's 35-year-old or 55-year-old or 75-year-old awareness, so that they can then start to put the pieces together in a way that gives them a smooth transition. So it's not rocket science to how to emerge someone gently. There are a few things to keep in mind though. You know how we've talked about when we talk with the subconscious, if we think more about talking to a child while we're in that state, it tends to flow better than if we think of ourselves as talking to the grown-up that we maybe see in front of us or that we know is in front of us. Emerging people is a lot like that. I don't know about you. I hate it when somebody wakes me up from sleep abruptly, like loud alarm clocks leave me disoriented and it takes me a while to get back to myself, but not in a good way. So that sudden like, okay, open your eyes and come back, is a little bit like the loud alarm clock or the single, you know, the doorbell ringing or something that interrupts a flow. And I think you've experienced this also with Joanna when she's taking you through this deep inner work. She doesn't just say, okay, so open your eyes and come back and talk about it, right? It's okay, now slowly bring your attention back to your body, to the sensations in your body, to the feeling of your back or your legs touching the chair or whatever you're sitting upon, maybe your feet on the floor. If you can see your client and you know what their body posture is, and becoming aware of the feeling of your fingertips on your legs and the sensations that you are becoming aware of there. And the less that you assume about what the sensations are that they're feeling, the better, because it lets them attend to whatever is important to them. It might be the texture, or it might be the temperature. So you can give that kind of guidance. You can also use that at the front end as ways of focusing inward from ordinary consciousness into a trance state by closing your eyes and focusing on those superficial body sensations and then going into deeper patterns and going into deeper awareness. So you can work them out the same way that you worked them in. So if there's a way that you like to ask people to focus, reverse the instructions. Their subconscious is already waiting for you to reverse the instructions, whether you are thinking of it that way or not. you don't have to do it exactly step by step. You don't have to do it word for word, but more the sense of it. Does that make sense? So thinking of how would you wake up if knowing that hypnosis and trance states are not sleep, that's a state of unconsciousness, not a state of altered consciousness or heightened focus. But in a similar way, if you have a young person in your life, whether that's your offspring, whether it's a niece, nephew, nibbling, a young friend who's part of chosen family or someone that you've helped to care for, if you want to be kind and you know they're dead asleep, you probably don't bolt into their room singing loudly at them, right? Unless you already know they like that. That would be an exception. You're more likely to go in and gently maybe put a hand on their shoulder or on their hand, say, good morning. It's morning time. It's time to get up for school. Are you awake? And then you play that little game, right? Or they pretend they're not awake yet, or they open their eyes a little. It's not that different. Starting gently, gently beginning to return your attention to the sensation of your body touching the chair. Allowing your awareness to expand again to the rhythm of your breath as it moves in and out of your body. Taking a nice deep breath on purpose. Really feeling how good it feels to fill your lungs with air. Maybe beginning to wiggle your fingers and your toes. Maybe starting to stretch your arms or your legs a little bit as you come more fully back to this time and this place. And when you're ready, gently opening your eyes and returning your attention to me or to the screen or to the phone or wherever you're doing. Can you feel how that sequences from the smaller things to the bigger, the way you might want to wake up? So however you like doing that, or if you have a very visual client and they've been in a very visually oriented trance state, you might say something to them like, and now allow that beautiful cottage garden in which you've been meeting with your inner self, your inner child, your future master self, whatever that is, to begin to fade as if mist, the way that mist fades at sunrise, I love Mary Poppins, right? And the old, Dick Van Dyke, Julie Andrews movie version of it, right? Where they've been, with the carousel horses and everything, and the rain comes and the whole chalk painting just melts around them. And then they're just back on the London streets. There's so many different ways, and you can play with that. That's a place that I love, because I get to play with my imagination too. And so you get to play with your imagination. And if you've been in trance with them, you can use your inner perceptions of that shared experience to inform how you would like to direct them to fade that experience and return to this one. So that's a really general overview of strategies. Any questions about that? Good, right? They're still malleable. Oh, right. And as I said, doing the integration in trance and also out of trance, like sandwiching the process of emergence. When they're emerging, it's also an excellent time to add in reinforcement, to add in affirmation. That's a little bit next level. That's going to be more comfortable for some of you right off the bat than for others. But that was one of the things that Joanna had asked about, because she noticed there are certain phrases I tend to use, right? So when I'm working in trance with somebody and they say something and it resonates for me as a truth or as a really important thing, like, for example, and I'll use personal stuff, self-disclosure, because it's easier for me to create the world from that than to try to imagine creating the world from the perspective of a client, of a case study. So one of the things for me that is a recurring theme is feeling like I'm not allowed to take up space, right? And that goes back to pre-birth things for me. So if I were your client and I were in that trance state and you asked me a question about, you know, what do you know now that you didn't know then? Right? I might say, well, now I know I'm allowed to take up space. I'm supposed to take up space because I have a purpose. And if I don't take up space, I can't do anything with it. So as a practitioner, that's a place where that's going to ring as truth. That's going to ring as a really important realization to integrate. I'm going to make a note that they've come up with that on their own, right? I'll say, that's right, right? Just immediate affirmation with two words. That's right. You are allowed to take up space. In fact, it is imperative. And if you have their notes in front of you, their client sheet, their goals, and they've said that they want to get out and do a speaking tour, right? You know, and you know that if you're going to do that speaking tour, you have to be willing to take up space. Isn't that right? So we don't use yes, no questions very often, but if they've already said something as true, asking the question that's a binary to get them to affirm it and give themselves permission lets it go clunk another level down. And then that's a place, and where do you feel that truth you just spoke in your body? That's the making the body memory part, the integrating it on the physical. What does it feel like when you say that? Oh, I feel free. I feel like I don't just, it's not just okay to take up space, but I have space. Right? I feel like I can breathe, right? Good. Like good is a great word. When they say something that's really aligned, good. Feel into that more deeply. Really enjoy that feeling for a moment. That lets them anchor the emotions and the kinesthetic experience of the feeling. So you have the marriage there of the emotional and the physical integration, right? If it was a spiritual insight, you know, and they know it and it's been expressed that way, like this is a soul purpose issue. Great. It's so important that you are connecting with that. What else does your soul want you to know about that right now? Right. So maximizing the insight process, but also maximizing the integration of it. And being aware for yourself of where those things connect. So I'll have some notes. I don't know why I take written notes, to be honest, because it's rarely legible afterwards, but I know why, because I need the tactile of it. But somebody will say something, right? And then they'll make a body memory of it, and I'll put a big P next to it, that was a physical integration, right? So if I need to go back and see it, I can. But it also helps me at a glance on my notes become aware of, okay, they're mostly integrating this physically, or I have a lot of P's, or I have a lot of E's, or I have a lot of S's or M's, you know, whatever that is. What might I need to bring in intentionally? Where might I need to connect those dots? So when we're doing the integration process, and again, we're going to spend the lion's share of the rest of the time kind of doing some Q&A, we might even do some of that. I'm on the fence about demonstration because it, like interactive demonstration, just because live is unpredictable and we have limited time. And I'm going to talk to you about how we actually can do that later on. If that's something that appeals to you, there's an access for that. So being able to connect those dots, right? Even just, so one of the ways I'll bring people out of trance sometimes is just by counting them up from 1 to 5. A note on counting, there are very strong feelings in the hypnosis world about the direction that you count. And there are some people that say you should always count people down to smaller numbers if you're inducing trance, and you should always count up to higher numbers when you are emerging from trance. And that's what I was taught in the beginning. And then Cal Banyan, my mentor most recently, and his mentor, Jerry Kine, that particular lineage says, nope, we always count numbers up. Because whatever you're asking them to do, you want them to do more of. And if they haven't done as much of that as you need them to do, if you've been counting up, you can keep counting because they don't know what number you were going to end at. Just like, it blew my mind, right? So that one we will do kind of as a group. I do want to just demonstrate that, the numbers going up as a more focused or a more emerged, that you always have those options. And I just made myself a note and it almost is legible. And I know because I just said I'm going to do it, you all are going to keep me honest. But it's not just counting. I don't like just counting. I mean, math is fun, numbers are boring. It's my opinion. So for example, one, beginning to emerge from the cocoon of your inner self. Two, beginning to notice the sensations of your body resting in the chair. Three, feeling fully supported, beginning to move your fingers and your toes. Four, the more fully you come into your body, the more you realize you are integrating the experience you just had with every breath you take. Five, breathing that knowledge and that wisdom and that insight into and through every cell in your body. Five, even allowing that wisdom to fill the space in between the cells as you continue to emerge more and more. Six, you know, and so on and so forth, right? So you can, and I love doing that. Like, that is one of my secret weapons. And if you know exactly what it is, right? If you're going to count them up to 10, I usually just use 5 because it's usually all I need and it's fast enough. And, you know, but you can get to anchors that they've set. If they've said, yep, every time that I see a bell, I'm going to remember that I have clarity deep within me. So 6, you even hear a bell ringing in your mind, reminding you of the clarity that resonates through your entire being as you go about your day, right? And you just make stuff up to weave in there that restates the insights that they've had or the anchors that either they've set for themselves or that you've helped them to set. So that by the time they're fully emerged, not only have they done the integration work in trance, they've been integrating that as they're coming to full ordinary consciousness. And then, you know, eyes open, noticing how good you feel, and you do feel good, don't you? Okay. Or, you know, if you had to truncate at a really difficult time because you ran out of time, you know, eyes open, knowing that you have the ability to take care of yourself and give yourself whatever you need right now. How are you feeling right now? And what do you need, right? So even if it's not all hunky-dory, because some work takes more than one session, you can still do positive integration that returns them to their strengths, to their capabilities, to a place where they can go on with whatever's next without being stuck in deep processing. Obviously, we like it to be all wrapped up in a session, but it doesn't always work that way. See, something used to drive me crazy in psychotherapy is, oh my gosh, right? And it's one thing if it's a timer, right? It's only if they set a timer that's, you know, okay, so that's our 10-minute warning. And I just want to make sure we're able, like, I have a therapist who will set a 10-minute warning with me because she knows otherwise I have issues with time. So she would set a 10-minute timer, say, whatever it is that we're talking about now, this is what we're going to wrap up on. So if there's something else that's really important to process, we'll make notes to come back to that next time. That is one thing. An alarm that just abruptly stops things at the end, there's so many better ways to handle time boundaries than that. Even if you're only working with somebody in ordinary consciousness, in the conscious mind, the analytical work. That's my opinion. So I'm right there with you, Carrie. That's like, please don't do that. Now, if I'm working with somebody and I know that I need a cue, I will set a silent timer that's going to blink at me so I know to wrap up. I forget to do that when I teach, but I otherwise remember it. So, right, integrating that, bringing that in. And so then even after their eyes open back to working more in the analytical is, I like that, beginning to end. Yes, that's a really good phrase, you know, or, you know, now we've come, you know, now we've come to the point in the session where we're going to start the process of wrapping things up, you know, to move on to the next. Like there's so many, there's just so many ways you can say it. And if you wouldn't like someone to say it to you, you probably shouldn't be saying it to a client either, right? But you can keep connecting the dots, right? You can either, depending on your client, if some people, when they emerge, they just emerge really kind of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready with conscious analysis, like right there. Other people are slow to emerge from trance, even once their eyes are open and they're focused, and it's a little bit like waking from a heavy nap, you know, in quality. And so knowing where they're at, if they're a little bit on the slower side, they need to be eased back into it. That's a place where you're going to also pace for where they're at. So for somebody who's a little bit slower to fully return to the analytical stuff, okay, you take a moment, you take a breath with them. You know, yeah. So tell me how you feel right now. And then you just pause and you just wait for them to respond. It's also, that's a good question to ask just right off the bat. Because if they're still a little trancy, it's emotional, it's physical, it's not analytical. And they can transition themselves. And you'll notice in the words they use and the pacing of their speech, if they're still more inner or if they're already more outer, right? So that emerged client goes, yeah, wow. Like, I'm just feeling so great right now. I feel like a million bucks because I didn't even know that that was the thing I needed to know. And now I feel like I can accomplish X, Y, and Z. And I know the next thing I need to do is blah, blah, blah. Then they're doing the integration for you, right? They're integrating it and you're just listening for the gaps, right? Or they might say, I feel really great. You know, I'm not sure what to do with it yet. Great. I'm so glad. Let's explore that a little bit before we finish up for the day. So that's where I like to use some fill in the blanks. Like, I'll use them in trance, but also out of trance. If I knew now what I know then, I could blah, 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 or I would, you know, finish that sentence and you let them finish the sentence, right? Oh gosh, if I knew then what I know now, I would have been able to take so much more action with so much less fear. Awesome. Great. What's the first action you would like to take? Or if your future self was standing right here still, what would she tell you is your next best step? So that's a place of asking the questions we know to ask to elicit the integration, to elicit the next steps. And sometimes people really are a little bit lost. They know they've had the insight, but it's still percolating. And sometimes it might take a couple of days for something to percolate. And that's where it's our job to connect the dots for them a little bit until they're able to, you know, pick up the thread. Mixed metaphor, but I think you get it. So that's a place where they'll give an insight like, oh yeah, I, now that I know I can take up space, I feel so much freer, but I'm just not sure what to do with it. So, yeah, sometimes it can take a little while until we know what our next best step is. So you might ask them, what's one thing from our conversation earlier that you might want to try, that you might want to experiment with? So making it safe to pick something and see how it goes, that it's not, you know, the end all be all. Or if they really are like, oh gosh, I really don't know, I'm having difficulty with that. Take a moment and just put your hand on that place in your belly where you stored that body memory of that feeling of freedom. And if you could ask that part of you right now, what does it want you to do next? Of these three things you said when you walked in here today, what feels most aligned with that space? And then what would you do? What would be the first step towards that? So that's marrying that physical, emotional, spiritual integration with the mental integration, and then also taking the steps in the world, which is another type of physical integration. I feel like I may have just gone too far too fast all of a sudden. Are we all okay? Is it making sense? Okay, awesome. Thank you. Pardon me. So connecting the dots. I love it when the bullet points are working. And we talked about it a little bit last time, and I mentioned it a little bit this time. When I say anchoring, do you know what I mean? Like anchor that, right? An anchor is just when we tie something, when we tie a new insight or a desirable action to something else, whether it's another action, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, whether it's sensory. So the person who trained me as a coach first, Alamea Will, her organization is called Aim for Excellence. She likes to do very specifically always keyword, a sound, and a symbol. And I still love to do those three. The keywords, like what's a word or a phrase that evokes that for that person, right? It gives you something that you can read or hear or see in your environment in and of itself. Because it's language, it's also an abstraction of a larger concept. And it gives your subconscious mind something to chew on. So, you know, if your keyword is expansive, that can mean so many things. Now, in the moment that I'm choosing that as a keyword for something, I know what it means to me. But I'm also going to read it in a description of something and go, oh, yeah. And there's all these other ways that expansive shows up. And that may then loop back and inform some new insights that I had tied that keyword to, right? There might be a sound. So it could be the sound of, and sometimes, okay, so this is helpful because sometimes it's hard for people to describe sounds because it's not wind on top of a mountain for me, but it's the sound of being on top of a mountain and that sensory impact of being able to hear really far, right? And this, that just the sound of that open space. There's a particular quality of sound when there's no walls, right? So it's the sound of the mountaintop, which isn't a sound, except it is in here. I know what it sounds like, right? So now the interesting thing about that, I'm anchoring to that sound of the mountaintop. I don't live on a mountain. I live in Delaware. It's really flat. We don't have very many hills. I think our highest point above sea level is like 200 feet, might now be 240 because the landfill is now higher than the highest natural point. Like we're mostly sea level. So if I really want to go hear a mountaintop, I have to drive a ways to do that, right? My spouse has a screensaver, desktop thing. You know, his desktop picture is a rotating whatever from a server, and he gets different landscapes from all around the world or villas or whatever. So I'll be sitting on the couch, look over and see that the desktop image that comes up for that day is a view from a mountaintop, right? Or we've been watching a lot of the Olympics. So they're always showing, you know, the mountains outside of Beijing. I'll see that. And when I see that, it triggers the auditory anchor. And in my inner hearing, I hear that sound, right? So even if you're anchoring only to one sense, more often than not, it has tendrils into other senses, which is great because the more levels something integrates on, the more powerfully we're going to experience it, the more opportunities we're going to have to encounter something in our environment, inner or outer, that's going to make that resonant. Yes. You're still muted.
Yeah. Okay. So I like these three things. How do you bring them up if, like, you know, I feel like for me, a keyword, because I'm more like thinking visual, keyword would be easier, like to ask about, like, you know, so is there like, you know, what stands out or a word that I offer that stood out? But how do you, like, you know, I really like this package. And what I'm hearing you say is that it's like, the more of these we get down, the more senses, the more it'll be integrated.
Yeah.
But how do you bring it up? And I got kind of lost on finding a sound based on what you just described.
Okay.
Like, fair how would enough. You bring it up? Like, is there a sound you want to associate this with?
Yeah, I usually won't ask it, like, is there? That's a place that I'm directive. And that's where, like, whether it's on default paperwork or just on notepad, I'm always looking for their keyword sound and symbol. I'm gonna take you all through something that's not digging up fears or anything, which I was thinking about doing anyway. And I think this is the confirmation I needed that it's a good way to go about it. So hold on to that for a minute, because I'm gonna take you there.
All right, so as a practitioner, you're primed to hear these come up so you can make suggestions at the end toward mm-hmm. integration.
Right. So when they've got something that's gone clunk, right, they've got that insight and you know you want them to hang on to that. And then after working with Joanna, I added into that a body memory. So I almost always will add make a body memory, or where does it live in your body and what does it feel like there? Which is the same as make a body memory, right? It just might not be a global body memory. It might be a particular place. So, you know, with the symbol, I'll just quick loop to that and then we'll go back and we'll get all of it together. So with the symbol, asking them to pick a symbol, that's triggering the visual awareness, right? And the symbol could be as simple as, you know, a heart, like a heart shape, or a star, or a frog. I had a client who was dealing with lymphoma, and I believe she was connecting with her inner resilience as she was about to undergo treatment. And I don't remember what her keyword was. I don't remember what her sound was. I still remember her by the ladybug. That was her symbol. I think of her every time I see a ladybug, right? But every time she saw a ladybug, whether it was a drawing on something, whether it was part of art, whether it was a ladybug in the environment, it triggered for her connection to her resilience and her trust in herself, that no matter how things went, she was going to be okay and her family was going to be okay, even if the treatment didn't work, because she didn't know yet. So actually, she might. This was many years ago. So I don't know. But having that symbol gives you the visual cue, but also because the symbol has a word that's identified with it, right? So you read the word ladybug, you go, oh, ladybug, this, right? So those things together, and you know, where does that live in your body? You know, well, I feel that, you know, where do you feel your resilience? I feel it in, I'm going to make something up. I feel it in my feet because it reminds me that I can be grounded in myself and always take the next step no matter what, right? So feet, body memory in the feet, feet, also a word, also a visual, right? It all overlaps. So how would you like to have a little date with your inner wise one or your future master self? Yes, we good. Yes, no, maybe as far as I can tell. Now, if you're driving, this is not a thing that I would recommend really engaging with. This is something that you would want to be able to close your eyes and focus on. So if you're not in a space where you can focus on it, just kind of listen to learn, and then you'll have the recording you can always go back and do later. Fair enough? Fair enough. All right. Cool. Ooh, and I have enough time for, yes. I haven't run out of time yet today. All right. So getting yourself, if you need to adjust anything to be able to be a little more physically comfortable, whatever that is for you. I do recommend if you have limbs that are crossed, you uncross them, just the circulation thing. Yeah. And just taking a moment to take a deep breath and just be aware of the intersection of what you see and hear around you before you've closed your eyes and turned your attention inwards, and the places where you're already able to start to become aware of your inner world, or even just that inner landscape of your lungs. Noticing how you're on a border and you get to decide to cross. And then taking another deep breath in. And this time, as you allow yourself to gently exhale, you might also allow your eyes to gently close, or for your gaze to gently direct downwards if closing your eyes isn't comfortable for you. And then the next deep breath, allowing yourself to become aware as you exhale naturally and gently, that you can let your shoulders sink just a little bit. Intending some restful relaxation in your body. And as I count from 5 down to 1, just allowing that relaxation to double, giving your body a chance to rest as your mind adopts a relaxed state of heightened and focused concentration. 5. Sorry, wrong way. 1. I confused myself. Counting down from 1 to 5. 1. Relaxing more and more with every gentle breath that floats in and out of your body. 2, allowing that physical relaxation to deepen more and more with every gentle exhale. 3, relaxation beginning to double in both body and mind. 4, letting go even deeper now. Knowing that you are safe and secure where you are, continually relaxing with every natural breath you exhale. And five, twice as deep as you were before. And in this state of heightened awareness and beautiful relaxation that you've chosen to allow in body and in mind, you now have access to the infinite database of the subconscious mind and all of the wonderful creativity and myriad associations there. The very blueprint for who you are. Everything that you've ever lived and everything you've ever imagined. And I'd like you to use this amazing power that you have, because there are a few things that we can do together whenever we're in this state. And as we talked about in the first class, a state of trance or a state of hypnosis is a lot like a game of Simon Says. And so the most basic thing we can do together right now is I can suggest things to you, give you instructions, and you can follow them for your own highest good. Just like you've already done to create this beautiful state of relaxation, using that to go deeper and deeper. And using these amazing powers of the mind to get more of whatever you focus your attention on. And so right now, I'd like you to just focus your attention on the feeling of your eyelids touching together. And as you put your attention there, you might even notice that they twitch or tighten a little bit. You know that you absolutely could choose to open them if you desired to do so. But right now, it just feels too good to allow them to remain gently closed. You might even try to open them a little bit and find that it's harder than you thought because you'd like to let them closed. And then relaxing more and more as you release that point of attention and instead direct your attention once again to the feeling of the breath moving in and out of your body, reminding you, you don't have to do a thing for your body and mind to take care of you by keeping that breath going at a natural, easy rhythm. And noticing, even with this next breath that you breathe in and then breathe out, you become aware of even more relaxation. And it just feels so good to give your body this chance to relax. And the third thing is that you can use this power of the mind to imagine whatever you want to imagine. You can get more of any sensation, of any thought, of any sound, of any image, in whatever way your mind likes to imagine, just by focusing your attention on it. And so right now, I'd like you to imagine a beautiful, bright yellow lemon. And imagine around yourself now, forming around you, a kitchen, maybe from your near or distant past or the kitchen of your dreams. And now that lemon is in front of you on a cutting board with a knife next to it. And And imagine yourself reaching out and picking up that lemon in one of your hands, feeling the waxy texture of the peel, the dimples in it, the weight of the lemon in your hand. And imagine lifting that whole lemon up to your nose now, breathing in the aroma from the peel where you've rubbed it a little. Imagine the aroma of those lemon oils. Notice how it makes you feel. And then placing the lemon back on the cutting board, imagine picking up that kitchen knife and slicing the lemon in half. And now bring one of the cut halves of the lemon up towards your nose and breathe in that aroma. Notice how it's different from the aroma of only the oils and the peel, because now you can smell the juices. You might even be able to feel some of the juices from that cut half dripping down your fingers or into the palm of your hand. And now, holding that lemon up in front of your face, go ahead and take a big, robust bite into that lemon. And notice the tartness of those lemon juices in your mouth. Notice what's happening in your mouth right now. Some of you may even be salivating because your body is listening so acutely to your imagination that it is actually responding as if to neutralize the acid of the lemon juice. Not everyone has that response, but some do. And then putting that lemon back down on the cutting board in the kitchen of your imagination. Swallowing any extra spit if you need to. And just allowing that experience to fade now, but noticing the aspects of it that were most vivid for you, most intense, most palpable, and which ones perhaps were less bright, loud, flavorful. And just letting something in the back of your mind notice that for future reference about which sensory experiences may be more important for you in trance work, which things might be less useful or need more work to access. Just storing that away. You'll be able to access that information whenever you need it. And now using that power of imagination to create for yourself, if you haven't before, or returning if you have, an inner sanctuary, an inner wisdom sanctuary. For some people, it might be like an ancient Greek or Roman temple. For others, it might be a high-tech boardroom. It could be a library. It could be a cabin in the woods. It could be a rock by a stream. It can literally be anything that you would like to imagine. And allow yourself to create that around you using as many of your senses as you can and want to connect with. This is a place that you can always come to anytime you want to access your inner wisdom. Notice how it feels to be able to return to this or to construct it for yourself. To have a place no one can come without your invitation. A place to connect with your deepest knowing. Today, I'd like you to invite into this place what Alameo would call your future master self. Some others would refer to as your inner wise one or your inner wise woman. And however you've constructed this inner sanctuary, it's malleable if you need it to be. If you need to make more chairs to invite more beings of wisdom in, you can do that. It's infinitely adjustable. And inviting your future master self in, a future version of you, a version of you that has already achieved your highest goals, your deepest purposes, who knows what it takes to get there, because she's already done it. You can return to this inner sanctuary to meet with your future master self anytime you choose. You have unlimited access to this space. Your future master self not only knows what it's going to take, what actions you'll need to take, what mindset shifts you might have to make to get to where you want to go, she also knows the things that you're worried about now, if you're worried about things, and either what to do about those things or how to let go of them. There are questions you may have been carrying on your heart coming into today's class. Perhaps there are questions about your capacity as a practitioner or a piece of inner work that you've been addressing but haven't fully resolved, something personal. Perhaps it's about your next steps. It could be anything. You invited her here and she was happy to show up for you because she's always happy to support you in your success and your well-being. Go ahead. Ask her about that. Whether you're speaking that question in your mind as if out loud to her, or whether it's telepathic or in symbolic language, ask her. And then notice what it is that she communicates back to you. The first thing that you most need to know about what you just asked. Allowing that information to be received in your subconscious mind in the ways that will most benefit you going forward. In ways that that information might continue to unfold as you continue on your journey. Today's visit is just a short visit. You might take longer visits in the future if you so choose. And you have a choice about what it is that you would like to anchor from this experience today. It might be that what you want to anchor is something about the information your future master self just shared with you. Or you might simply wish to anchor this experience of sharing space with your future master self so that you can access it more readily next time, or be reminded that she's always there for you no matter what. Whatever it is that you're choosing to anchor in this experience, allow a word or short phrase to come into your mind, a keyword, if you will, to connect with this experience that you're allowing yourself to have today. Don't overthink it. Just let it come. It wants to come. And if some part of you isn't sure, notice your future master self has something that she can gesture to or show you that makes it more obvious. And know that the sound and the symbol and the body memory may not seem related to the key word at all, but they might. And now allow yourself to become aware of a sound that wants to anchor with this experience that you've chosen to have. Allowing that to come into your awareness. Feeling how it connects from your inner auditory senses to that larger concept that you're integrating now. And in that same way, allowing a symbol to come to mind, or choosing a symbol to represent this learning, this connection, that every time you see it, will remind you of the thing that you most need to know from this experience today. And imagining as if you can hold that keyword and that sound and that symbol, holding the energy of all of those together and noticing how that feels in your body. Noticing where the energy of this wants to live, wants to anchor in your awareness of your physical being. And making a body memory of that. And before we begin the process of emerging, taking these last few moments with your future master self to ask for anything else you might need of her, other clarification, other wisdom, or maybe just taking a moment to thank her for her presence today. And then noticing how you feel. How it's different from when you started. Observing the thoughts that drift through the background of your mind. And noticing if they've changed. And how that makes you feel. And allowing these anchors of sound, symbol, keyword, body home, or body memory, as if different pieces of a multidimensional puzzle with multiple correct configurations, shifting and moving, moving apart, coming together again, clicking into place, forming new patterns, connecting with new threads of awareness in your inner wisdom. Able to constantly generate new insight and new inspiration for action in the background of your subconscious, even when your attention isn't fully on it. noticing how it feels to observe that amazing power that is within you now, that has really always been within you. And then if you haven't already, thanking your future master self and letting her fade into the background or into the future, however it feels for you. And allowing your inner sanctuary to begin to fade at the edges, becoming fuzzier, softer, dimmer, quieter, until it's just you in the quiet of your inner world, noticing how you feel right now, noticing the power that you have within you. In a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 5. And when I reach the count of 5, you'll be fully emerged, feeling refreshed, clear, alert, with a whole new set of insights that you are integrating and able to use whenever you choose in this wonderful sanctuary where you can meet with your future master self anytime you want to. 1, beginning to return your attention to your body now, noticing how good your body feels, how relaxed it feels. You did that. That's a gift you gave yourself. 2, coming up more and more over the next couple of days, longer if you like. In addition to the anchors that you've set in this experience, you're also going to notice the color red. You're going to notice red in so many different places, whether it's as small as someone's nail polish, as big as a billboard, a blinking traffic light, or a red stop sign. Anytime you see the color red, it's going to remind you of the deep power that you connected with inside of yourself and the strength that you carry with you every single day, whether you're consciously aware of it or not. That's right. Every time you see the color red, it's going to remind you how good you feel right now, how strong you feel, and how capable you always are, no matter what. 3, knowing that the changes that have begun to take root in you today as a result of this experience that you've allowed yourself to have can only continue to ripple out into all areas of your life in beautifully positive and productive ways. 4, returning your attention to your body and the room more fully now, preparing to emerge completely. And 5, opening your eyes, emerging fully and completely, and noticing how good, strong, and capable you feel. And you do feel good, don't you? Huh? Yes? No? Maybe? Yes? Okay, good. Excellent. And so who would be interested to share about what kind of insight your future master self brought to you today? What was that experience like for you?
Just jumping in that we have 12 minutes.
Excellent. Thank you.
I fell asleep. Yeah, I'm sure you saw me.
There's a recording. Anyways, who'd like to share? What was that like for you?
I also went very far away, and I'm not sure I heard what you were saying.
And that's okay. So I'm curious then, what is it that you brought back from your faraway place that's important to you? Okay.
I'm still there.
Yeah. So if this were a situation where we had, half an hour, 45 minutes, I would likely ask Lissa for permission to work with that a little more. but we don't. So what I will say, though, is that the beautiful thing about doing work in trance and working with the subconscious is that even if there are pieces of it that we don't immediately bring with us into our conscious awareness, it's all in there and it's ready to unfold when we're ready for it. So I believe that sometimes when we go to the really kind of faraway spots and we're like, oh, I'm not sure, because with hypnosis, we typically are going to remember the experience at least as well as we would any conversation that happens in ordinary consciousness. But sometimes when we're doing more spiritually oriented work, we might go to farther away trance places that aren't necessarily that. And so I believe that when we do that, we're storing a download for later integration, and that when we're ready, it will be there. I don't feel that anything is ever lost. So does that make sense? How does that feel? Feels all right? And yes, Simona. To experience and to learn. So Carrie, I see you're unmuted. Are you willing to share a little bit your experience?
I was just gonna share, I did not fall asleep, probably because I'm sitting up and I'm at my office, but, mm-hmm. and, generally speaking, when even with meditation, which I don't do like very much, I always have a really hard time. Just takes me so long just to get out of my head. But I was just curious about, I was surprised about the red thing. Mm. And I thought that was interesting. And I could see why you did that. But then like in my own mind, I hate the color red. So I was like, oh, you know, and I was like, no, not red.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't know if like, obviously if you knew me, you probably would know that maybe, and you wouldn't choose red, but.
Nope, I absolutely would still choose red. That is a good.
Okay. So that was my question. I was curious about that.
Yeah. Red as an anchor and also as a post-hypnotic suggestion for integration is really useful because it is ubiquitous in our environments. And so even when it's a color that we don't like, you can't drive to the grocery store without having to stop at a stop sign or stop at a red light or deal with the little blinky red light on your cable box or the little red circle at the top of the window to close something on your computer screen. And so... and ball will talk. But it's there. And there's always going to be something red somewhere in the environment. And so with that suggestion in place, then when we notice it, even if it's a color we don't like, the idea is it helps to keep anchoring. Okay, but even if I'm at a stop sign, I'm stopped, but I'm also remembering my strength. I'm remembering my capability. And that I use that as a post-hypnotic emergence suggestion for almost everybody because it is just such a basic thing. For some people, it fades after a day or two. Other people love it and latch onto it. And it can get customized, right? So if I know what somebody's working on, I might say, right, and every time you see the color red, whether it's as tiny as someone's fingernail polish or as big as a billboard, a bright stoplight, you know, or just a red stop sign, it's going to remind you to stop and remember this thing that you wanted to accomplish, right? Or this thing that you just said about yourself. And even if the reinforcement only lasts 24 to 72 hours for some people, that's still 1 to 3 days of intermittent, constant reinforcement. Yeah, I am strong enough to achieve this. And we all know from working with various affirmations at different times in life, the more you say the thing to yourself, the more likely you are to believe it, right? And we get more of whatever we focus on. So the more frequently we can trigger that, the deeper it kind of worms its way into our awareness. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Any other questions about that? Okay. So I said that I would tell you if you are like, okay, I want to practice this. I want to do more with this. I want to get good at this. There's a couple of ways to do that. So one is if you're like, whoa, this blows me away. I really want to learn more about hypnosis and NLP, and I want to train in those. I will be putting resources for people who do those trainings into the handouts that you will get. If you're like, yeah, I don't want to become a hypnotist, I don't want to become an NLP practitioner, but I definitely want some feedback on my skills and I want some supervision and I want to be able to ask some deeper questions and go into some deeper cuts on this stuff. What I would like to offer you is 3 sessions, 3 classes very much like this to go deeper into these skills, in small group, customized fashion. I have that available because now that I have a surgery date, I also know my quarantine dates. What better thing to do if I have to quarantine than teach a class online? So March 21st, 28th, and April 4th, this same time, because it seems like that's something that works for people. And that would be at a discounted rate of $147 for the whole series. And I'm going to limit that to 6 people. So it might go up to 8. It depends. And then the other thing that I want to give you as a bonus, if you want it, one of the things that I do is teach people about what feelings are for, right? I do that with my clients. I've done that with my students. There's a lot of different work it's based on, but the textbook in essence is called The Secret Language of Feelings. And so we can feel things, right? We'll feel sad, but if we don't know what the feeling of sadness is trying to tell us, it's very difficult to create purposeful actions to resolve it. And this can come up for us in our inner work, it can come up with our clients. But if we know that the language of sadness is telling us, I've experienced a loss of something or someone important to me, could be a tangible or an intangible. And what that feeling first and foremost wants is for us to get back what was lost, and then to know how to navigate, if we can't do that, to find ways to resolve the feeling of sadness and move through it and resolve it instead of stuffing it. So we do that with all of the primary feelings. So Secret Language of Feelings workshop. I want to offer that to you March 7th. If the date doesn't work for people, that's fine. If you want to sign up for the deeper dive work that is in March and April, then that is free to you for that. Otherwise, that would ordinarily be like a $99 workshop. If you're not doing the deeper dive, $27 because you were here. And if you're listening to this recording and it's before that time, if you're in this early 2022 time, this also applies to you. And I'll make sure that Joanna has an email with all of that that can be sent to all the people that were eligible for this. So what I would like to do is I want to make sure that if you have questions, that we can be in touch with each other. If you can, okay, I think, yes, I'm open if the 7th doesn't work for people, or if the Monday time is like, nope, that's a problem, I am open to rescheduling. I'm trying to get my cursor to move over so I can actually type in the chat, and I can't get it to come to the screen. There it is. So what I would like to do right now, why is my keyboard not connected? I'm going to put my email address in here. So it's connect@removethefriction.com. Take that down. It's also on your first handout, and it will be, you know, Joanna has it also. For some reason, my website reverted to an earlier version. There was an opt-in and it's gone. I don't know what happened. And it's back to having a Google form to connect with me, but that's another option. If you go to removethefriction.com, there is a Google form and connect with me that has email and things that you want me to know. And that will dump into a message to me. But take a moment now to, if you can, to pull up your email program, put the address in the send to, put a subject in, and just let me know if you're interested, if you're not interested, if you have questions. But if you wouldn't mind sending me an email to connect, and then if things change, I will be in direct touch with you if there's other dates that come up. So And then once we get to that second week of April, I'll be pretty well out of commission for the next 2 months after that. So if you also are feeling like, I don't know that this is a thing that I want to dive deeper into, but I really want to explore how Anne does one-on-one coaching, we can also set up a time to talk about that. I'm just not booking any new coaching clients until summer. So I have to get through the yeetening first. That's my affectionate term for the hysterectomy that I am about to have, the yeetening. Any questions on that, on what we've done today? I see it is exactly 4 o'clock and time to wrap up. I can't believe I actually got through all the bullet points and the exercise and the offer. It's amazing. Okay. And yes, we will be Hyster Sisters. So I will feel much better after that. My uterus is tired and ready to go. I mean, I'm happy to be an Oyster Sister too, Simona. I love oysters and I will eat them all day long if you let me. So, so Imbal, Alyssa, Carrie, Simona, and we had one other person I know dropped off earlier at the name blanked, but thank you so much for sticking with it and for being here today. I really look forward to seeing you all in whatever future formats we intersect. And thank you so much for the opportunity to share some of what I know. And there will be all of this information summarized in the handouts, plus some other resources. And now this week seems like maybe finally that can get done. So you look for that in your emails as well.
Thank you, Anne. That was so wonderful. And on behalf of me and Joanna and the team, a really big thank you for these classes. Personally, I love seeing you in action as a teacher in yet another dimension, also as a hypnotherapist. And so these have been so wonderful. And I'm glad we have your contact info, and we'll look forward to the handouts. And thank you everyone for your presence.
Thanks so much for hosting and making it possible today. And thank you everyone for being here. Made me so happy.
Thank you. Take good care, everyone. Great to see you.
Bye. Thank you.